Welcome back into the La Crosse Tribune UWL Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew. I am your host and the La Crosse Tribune's beat writer for all of college sports. We are back in here for episode 17 of the year. This is going to be a tough podcast. It was a frustrating loss for the Eagles yesterday over at number 12 Oshkosh. Ended up being 24-13. Just putting it frankly, the Eagles were the better team on Saturday and just didn't get it done. They made a lot of mistakes that were self-inflicted, and even with those mistakes, they had chances to win the game and just came up short. So for the show rundown today, we're going to cover those mistakes, kind of the things that went wrong, and then talk about some of the good things because there were some highlights for UWL. Don't want to make the team all bad. They obviously played well enough that they were in the game against a really good team. And then we'll talk about the playoff implications of this loss. Spoiler, the prospects aren't great for right now. Have to see what happens around the country the last 3 weeks here, but the UWL is in a tough spot. There's a greater than likely chance that the season's going to end after 10 weeks, which is unfortunate, but we'll get into all that in a little bit. So let's start off with the bad. It was a rough first half from special teams, offense, defense. Everybody made some mistakes that were just uncharacteristic of this team, number one, and then number two, of the individual players. Like, we'll get into it, but just a rough first half and things that we just haven't seen from the Eagles. And what's unfortunate is when you are playing a team of this caliber like Oshkosh, and then you're playing them on the road, even one of these mistakes usually takes you out of the game. But lacrosse made a handful, and they were still into it. So in the first half, they had three red zone trips, only got one touchdown out of it. Two of them were empty trips, and that's just an absolute killer against a team like Oshkosh. There were a couple of bad punts, and granted, that was because of the wind. We'll talk about the wind's effect on this game in a bit. But one of the empty trips in the red zone was a missed field goal. And then the other one was a fake field goal that wasn't communicated properly between the sideline and the players running onto the field. It looked as though there was a pretty wide open space for a couple of receivers to be in. Just didn't get it done. They snapped the ball to freshman kicker Ryan Byrne. Right when he catches the ball, it's like, oh, wow, fake. And then look up, there's nobody downfield. And it was he just had to throw it away, come up empty there. So that was obviously tough. Defensively, they let up a couple of big plays. There was a 51-yard run by Mitch Gerhardt that ended up scoring for Oshkosh. And then there was a jet sweep to Dom Tortorello, the guy that I talked about during the preview podcast. It was kind of their X factor. He does a lot of things, catching the ball, running, kick returns. So those big plays were really all Oshkosh got offensively in the first half. And the unfortunate part about it is that they weren't exactly exceptional plays by either player for Oshkosh, because when you talk to the team after the game, I was talking to the UWL guys, they knew immediately where their mistake was on the play. They had what we call a mistake in their fit. Like, where on any given defensive play, every front seven player has a particular run gap. And when you have a fit mistake like that, it means that two players went to the same gap or were defending the same gap. And that means there's a gap with no defenders in it. And when you're doing that against some good, talented guys like McGerhart's and Tortorello, they're going to be able to find those mistakes and take advantage of them. And they did. They ran the ball hard, and Tortorello made a nice move back across the field to get away from the backside corner. But it's just unfortunate that Oshkosh didn't have to make exceptional plays on those. They just had to make one little cut or just read the defense correctly, and when the defense makes a mistake, they took advantage of it. So that was the defensive side of the mistakes they made there. Otherwise, the first half was pretty solid for them. Only let up 17 points, and three of those came off a turnover that gave Oshkosh the ball at the plus 33. So we got a good stand there and gave up a field goal. And then offensively, they moved the ball well between the 20s, but they had a couple of drop passes that on third and shorts that would have been first downs, and those were killer. And then they missed some throws on others. It was a crazy windy day, and the gusts reached 35 miles an hour over at J.J. Heller or Keller Field over in Oshkosh. When you have that amount of wind, when you talk to quarterbacks, every one of them too that I've ever spoken to always talks about they'd rather have snow, rain, whatever else over wind. Because what wind does, not only does it affect the ball in the air, but it just changes the way you can call a game. Even when it's raining or when there's snow on the ground or whatever else, you can still call the game how you want to. You can still try to take some deep shots. But with the way that the wind was on Saturday, it really capped the passing game at about 15 to 20 yards down the field, because anything that went further than that, the wind's going to take it. And then with how Oshkosh plays their defense, where everything's kind of based on going after the ball, kind of ball hawking as much as they can, even if it means letting up a big play. But when they're ball hawking that much, and you have a ball that's unpredictable with the wind, it's really a recipe for disaster and probably going to end up being a turnover. But so when you have that going on with the wind, it kind of gave Oshkosh's defense an advantage to know that, hey, we're going to have to defend within 15 to 20 yards of the line of scrimmage and not much beyond that. And when you have the talent they do on defense, that's a huge advantage. So that all happened in the first half. So some tough things for UWL. They're making mistakes. They're coming up empty in the red zone. Stuff that they haven't done nearly as often as they did Saturday throughout the rest of the season. They come out into the second half. The offense was still kind of having some struggles. Oshkosh's defense is playing well. Lacrosse's defense is playing well. They're keeping them in it. Bunch of punts throughout the third quarter. One of the key moments in the third quarter, Oshkosh has the ball. They're still up 17-7, which was the halftime score. Then UWL uses two timeouts to make sure that Oshkosh is going to punt from the south end zone going toward the north side of the field. And that meant that Lacrosse was going to get the ball with the wind advantage and get some better field position because they couldn't kick the ball that far. And I talked to Mike Schmidt about that decision. In a close game, burning two timeouts, it's a high-risk, high-reward situation. You're obviously risking two timeouts, and you're going to need those against a good defense to potentially have the ball late and score. But at that point, they needed a spark on offense. They needed to get some good field position. And Mike Schmidt said after the game that he knew that was one of those decisions that if it didn't work out or things didn't go right on offense, it was going to come back to bite him. And unfortunately, it did. Three straight incomplete passes on that drive. One of them, an overthrow by Ben Stramski, missed Cole Speaker over the middle, which would have been a huge play. Definitely a first down and would have gotten deep into Oshkosh territory. So a tough spot to get nothing out of it there. But then the offense finally moves down in the fourth quarter, gets a touchdown, and we'll talk about that when we talk about some of the good things. But then they have another special teams miscue, mishandled snap on the extra point. Freshman Evan Lewandowski had a tough game. On the missed field goal, there was a tough snap and hold situation. And then obviously on an extra point where they don't get the football down and even get a kickoff, they kind of just had to throw the ball up in the air after that. So just not a great day for that unit. I'm sure they'll get it cleaned up, but just one of those, one more mistake on top of the ones they had already made, because at that point it's 17-13. You can make it 17-14, and even though it's going to be a tough proposition to kick into that win, you're still giving yourself a chance to make it a field goal game. You mess up the extra point. Now it's a four-point game. You need another touchdown to try to win it against a really great defense. Oshkosh goes down after that, end up scoring on a play where Max Brower was coming across the field with a receiver, had really tight coverage on him. Their feet get tangled. He slips. The receiver stays on his feet. Ends up being wide open in the end zone. Just one of those backbreakers for a defense that played so well throughout the half. It ends up being pretty much the deciding score of the game. But like I mentioned, there's so many mistakes that Lacrosse made, and the fact that they were still in the game making all those mistakes showed how well they played, and just adds to the frustration of maybe we take one or two of those mistakes away throughout the course of the game and things can kind of break towards Lacrosse. But they didn't, and Oshkosh won it, so that's where we stand. Moving over into some of the good stuff, Cole Speaker had another great game for Lacrosse, junior wide receiver. He had a drop or two, wasn't perfect, and it's kind of the theme. Everybody that had a highlight also had kind of a low light to kind of balance it out, but he had a really great battle with Oshkosh's cornerback, A.J. Plua. AJ Pluto is a guy that's 6'4", is a rangy guy. Not the fastest dude in the world, but because he's so long, he's got such long arms, even if he's beaten by half a step, he can get his arms back into the play and disrupt the pass. Just a great matchup on the outside. But what I really liked watching was Cole Speaker and his physicality with Plua. Not only on pass plays, but on the running plays, he really took it to him as a blocker. And then Speaker drew a key pass interference call that set up the fourth quarter touchdown. And on that touchdown, his seventh of the year, made a nice move inside to beat Plua, ended up being 16 or 17-yard completion for the touchdown. Got hit on the play pretty hard as he's making the catch and falling down into the end zone. So good concentration, good job keeping the ball through contact. And, you know, throughout spring ball practices and early in training camp, Mike Schmidt and this coaching staff talked about Cole Speaker kind of being that number one receiver, that number one guy for this offense. And he's really stepped up throughout the year. And, what, three more games left? They're going to need more of it. They're going to need Cole to continue the season he's having to be that team they want to be at the end of the year. And right now the Caps at 7-3 that they can be. And if he keeps playing like this, they've got a good shot at it. From another one from the offensive side, Devontae Amos, sophomore wide receiver. He's finally getting involved after a couple of quiet weeks early in the season. And he's a smaller guy. He's 5'6", but he is blazing fast. And he makes really quick moves in his routes. And I think they're finally kind of figuring out ways to use that speed, use that quickness in his routes to get him open. And you can start seeing Ben Stramski, the quarterback, really starting to trust him more, getting him the ball in some key spots. He had the touchdown in the first half, and it was kind of the same situation as Speaker's, where he catches the ball and immediately gets hit, kept control of it, goes to the ground, secures it. That was actually a fourth down play that Amos scored on too. So really clutch of him to hold on to that ball and secure the touchdown for an offense that needed that, because at that point it tied the game at 7. And it looked like Lacrosse was kind of figuring out the things that they needed to do to move the ball against Oshkosh, and unfortunately not able to sustain that. But moving over to the defensive side, Joey Bolda. It's hard to single out a defensive player because outside of a couple of those big plays I mentioned, the defense did really well containing the Oshkosh's run game. They really made Oshkosh earn everything outside of those two big plays. But Bolda, he's a sophomore linebacker, making his first start of his career. On Saturday, and he was starting in place of Rusty Murphy. Rusty Murphy, another sophomore linebacker, he ended up getting hurt Monday at practice. It was kind of up in the air throughout the week if he was going to be able to play. Late in the week, kind of decided it wasn't going to be an option for him to play. So Bolda steps in, makes the start against an Oshkosh team that was really going to try to run the ball, kind of pound it to the UWL's defense and really make them stop the run. And they did that for the most part. Like I mentioned, they had that one long run, but other than that, they kept the ball at the line of scrimmage, or maybe just beyond it. Bolda ends up with 12 tackles. Senior linebacker Elijah McGeehan, a team-high 13. So their linebackers got the job done for the most part. And I think this is just a good show. Bolda is a guy that they were very high on as a recruit coming in, and I think it's a good sign that they are building depth throughout the year, throughout these recruiting classes, and that some of these young guys are starting to get their opportunities and starting to get, you know, some shine on the field finally. I think that's a good morale booster, and not only that, it's a good harbinger for things to come for this defense, that a guy that he's played some snaps, but getting his first start against the number 12 team in the country and performing well, that's a good sign for things to come for Joey Bolda and that whole defense for Lacrosse. But now let's look at some of the playoff options here. So right now UWL is 4-3 and 2-2 in the conference. So the best they can be is 7-3 and 5-2 in the conference. With that resume, with those records, there aren't great odds of getting in. Mathematically, they're eliminated from winning the conference, because even if Whitewater were to lose out their last three games, they would still be tied with Lacrosse in that sense, and there's just not a there's not really a realistic scenario that Whitewater is going to lose the last three games. I'm just being real with you here, people. Oshkosh or Whitewater is just too good. They're not losing the last three. So even if they were, Lacrosse would have, Whitewater have the tiebreaker. So just a tough scenario there. And then now Oshkosh, already having beaten Platteville and now La Crosse, they've kind of got that inside track for the second place in the conference. So realistically, La Crosse is looking at getting third in the conference. And there is some precedent for WIAC getting three teams into the playoffs. And La Crosse does have a really good non-conference win against Illinois Wesleyan, which is still the Titan that team has only lost. They're a highly ranked team. So they've got that on their resume. And then another thing going for them is that the committee isn't supposed to consider the Dickinson State loss because that's to an NAIA team. But at the same time, these are human beings in the committee room. Saying that they're not supposed to consider something kind of puts it in their minds like, well, they did also lose another game. So suffice to say, the prospects aren't great to make the playoffs. And it's kind of that same situation that La Crosse was in last year. With the weaker non-conference schedule last year, they had to be in second place in the conference with only the loss, the only loss being to the conference champion. They ended up getting third last year with that 8-2 record. So I was talking to Mike Schmidt after the game. They're in that same situation where just win out and give yourself a chance. It's not super likely, but if you give yourself a chance with your best possible record, it's easier to live with, and you can just kind of have that pride that you at least gave yourself a chance. And I wrote a lot about this in my column that's going to be on lacrossetribune.com on Sunday, and then in Monday's paper, kind of delving into the disappointment of the fact that the playoffs probably aren't super realistic at this point. And we've talked so much about it with players and with coaches about that was kind of the stated goal. So you don't want to call a season a disappointment only 7 games in with 3 more to go. But at the same time, it's like, it's hard not to because you've put that goal out there. So that's kind of the angle of the column that I had. I think it's a pretty good one. So be sure to read that on lacrossetribune.com. But that is going to do it for this episode of the UWL podcast. You can listen to all of them on lacrossetribune.com and get all my other coverage there. Got a good feature last week on Trent Smith and good game preview, everything like that for this Oshkosh game. You can read up on the kind of happenings of the game there as well. And then for the podcast, you can get all the episodes on lacrossetribune.com or you can subscribe on iTunes. So I know a lot of you do that, so please keep doing that, keep spreading it. 2 home games coming up, last 2 home games of the year. We got River Falls next week, or excuse me, Platteville next week, and then River Falls to finish up the home slate. So hopefully see some more of you out there. Hopefully, you know, 2 more weeks of 2 home game weeks, some good offensive performances, I think, coming up with the defenses they're going to see. I think there's some chances for some big point totals for lacrosse coming up. So we'll get into all that in the future weeks. But thanks for listening, and we will be back sometime in the middle of the week talking about UW-Platteville.